Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Well, there we are. Hello, welcome back to another edition of Take 127. You are... That was a fade out.
Well, we're having trouble with the desk, so I had to press a button rather than fade because it's not fading properly. Yeah. Sorry about that, but so that's the only way I could do it.
No, that's fine. There'll be no fading this evening then. So, yes, welcome to Take 127 on... Ship Full of Bombs, Thames Delta Independent Radio, www.sfob.co.uk. My name is Dan, and to my left we have...
I'm Mark.
And in front of me we have...
Hey, I'm Mike. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New
Year.
Oh
yes, Happy New Year, everybody.
And to the right, we have nobody, because unfortunately Joe isn't able to make the show this month. So it's going to be an odd one. It's going to feel strange without Joe here. So I'm going to have to take over the mantle of ridiculing you, Mike, yeah, even more than I already do.
On the positive front, we're all really drunk and we're all naked.
Yay!
Yes,
you're missing out, Joe. Yes. You're missing out.
Yeah, absolutely. She'll come to regret this. Yes, there we are. Welcome. It's the first show of 2017, and what we've decided to do, very unoriginally, is to look at the best of 2016. So we chose three movies. I think two of them had been watched by a number of us previously, and then we've got a third movie that nobody had seen but bizarrely got chosen as the best of. And it'll be interesting to see what we all think.
And surprisingly, the person who chose it isn't here.
Yes, I'm starting to think that the entire thing is some elaborate prank, and when Jo listens to this, she will be laughing at us. Laughing. Anyway, enough waffling by me. Let's move on to the first film. So I'm going to hand over to you, Mike.
Well, thank you very much, Dan, for that lovely introduction. Oh, no, you didn't give me one. That's okay. Right, it's not my pick, actually, but it would be no pick. It is one of my films of the year, and it's called Bone Tomahawk. It's actually on Netflix, so, you know, it's quite easy to see. It's the horror western, which is quite an unusual genre, not exactly your mainstream. It's written and directed by somebody called S. Craig Zahler. His first movie. Incredible, really. Anyway, a synopsis, and I might get through this without Joe interrupting. So here goes. Tell me if I'm boring you. Yes, okay, yes. You are. Right, a couple of drifters. This is in the Old West. Suffice to say, it's the Old West. Couple of drifters killing a robber couple and hide out in the hills. They come across some weird burial site, like something out of a Stephen King movie. One gets shot by an arrow and the other runs off into the hills. A few days later, this one guy makes it to a small town. Deputy, the sheriff, spots him acting suspiciously and reports him to the sheriff. And the sheriff questions him, and when he runs away, he shoots him in the leg. Okay, so this is starting to be the setup here. So doctor's not available to treat his leg. So the doctor's assistant, which is the wife of one of the main characters, and I'll come to them next, she treats him, tries to patch him up. Anyways, that night, strange things happen. Boy is murdered, horses are killed, and the drifter and the wife are abducted. The sheriff suspects the Injuns, but a local Injun tells them it's a troglodyte clan of cave dwellers, and they're not very nice. So that kind of sets the scene for the unlikely posse to go and hopefully rescue the wife of one of them and a couple other people. So you've got the grizzled sheriff, Kurt Russell, and a standout performance.
Absolutely.
His old eccentric deputy, Richard Jenkins, in a standout performance.
Utterly standout performance, yeah.
The guy with the broken leg, Patrick Wilson.
Yes, he's been in
a standout performance, again. And some other guy played by Matthew Fox. He's not quite as good, but still really terrific. The posse, the unlikely posse, go head on their way into the hills to search for these cannibalistic savages.
And go and rescue the...
And go and rescue the wife. Oh, I forgot. The wife's husband's got broken legs. That adds to the the difficulty of the posse. So you've got Kurt Russell, grizzled, good guy sheriff. Guy with broken leg, not so easy. Eccentric old guy who's old, that's his main weakness.
Yeah.
And kind of a bit of a marksman who's kind of, he knows, he shot lots of Indians in the past. He knows how to handle him, but there's tension because him and the guy that broke his leg, wife, had a bit of a dalliance at one time, so you don't know what might or might not go off. Ooh. Anyway, that's without...
I'm going to sneeze.
God bless you.
I think that's my best synopsis yet, you
see. Okay, sorry. Let's stop.
It was quite synoptic as well, as a synopsis.
I'm sorry, I sneezed and ruined it. Shall we stop and start again?
No, it's not.
Well, that sets the scene, doesn't it, for the listener out there? That sets the scene.
You've certainly wet my whistle. I'd be well up for watching this.
Joe's missing that as well. It's not a pleasant look, I tell you.
You just get excited because the baby oil is coming out there, isn't it?
So, Mike,
yes,
thank you very much for that synopsis of Bone Tomahawk. What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was terrific. I actually, when I sort of selected my top five of the year, I put it at number five. I rewatched it for the show, and actually, it might even move up to a number one of the year for me. Okay. It's solid top five, possibly top. It's not for everybody's taste, I don't think. It's very slow for the first hour, maybe hour 20. Quite slow. It's very, very intricate and funny. Not busting up funny, but the dialogue is very good. Stuff like Tarantino used to write when he could write. He's gone off the boil. I mean, the same year as Hateful Eight. And although Hateful Eight is a good movie, I think this is so much better.
Yeah.
And it's a similar kind of territory. Like Hateful Eight, not much happens until the end when there's lots of violence. This film, not much happens at the end. Oh, there's lots of violence.
It is quite violent.
And to be honest, if you're not used to horror films, this is a horror western.
I would say it's like old video nasty.
Yeah,
it styly. Does. It really is hardcore, isn't it?
It's something like John Ford's The Searchers crossed with Cannibal for Rocks or something. Yeah. It's really...
Although the strange thing, I think, in terms of the structure of the film, because it's just over 2 hours long, isn't it? And the first 45 minutes, because I've watched it three times now, the first 45 minutes is the setup. It's the stuff in the graveyard thing, and then it's in the town, and the events that happen that lead to them then going out on the trail. Because I think, don't they say something like it's a 5-day ride and we've got to do it in three? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the next hour of the film is them just heading to the caves where these kind of feral troglodyte Indians are. So, and then the final 15 minutes is all of the horrific
Funny you say that, because that's how I thought it played out. I saw it quite recently, and the horror stuff actually lasts a lot longer than I thought.
Oh, really?
About 40 minutes.
You're joking.
No. Oh, wow. I was really surprised myself. I thought, how can this be? But the horror stuff might be too horrific for some people. And that's totally understandable. If you're not used to horror films and not used to seeing quite grotesque stuff, you might not like this film. But I loved it. And I think the slow pace of the first half is essential for the horror to work and for you to like the character. You care about the characters, totally. Kurt Russell, career highlight, I think. But the deputy, is just amazing. I mean, this is came out last year, not last year, 2015 in the States, so it missed the Oscars and stuff. I don't think it... I believe Kurt Russell got a chainsaw award from Fangoria magazine. So, but that's kind of...
But you are right. I think Richard Jenkins is fantastic in this. One of the very first lines that he has in it, which I really liked, was he goes into the sheriff's office and the sheriff is cooking something up in like what looks like a coffee pot or something.
Yeah, that's super.
And he says, he comes in and goes, oh, sheriff, that tea smells gruesome. And he goes, it's not tea, it's soup. He goes, oh. Actually, now that I know it's soup, it smells pretty good. Can I have some? It's just kind of like amusing dialogue, not massively laugh out loud, but, you know, he's a great character. I'm really keen now to see
what
Mark
thinks
of Bone Tomahawk.
He's smiling, but not in the good way.
He's going to ruin it now. He's going to rain on your parade.
I'm not. It's very interesting what you said in relation to The Hateful Eight, because I thought Hateful Eight was loads better than this.
I'm not knocking it. No. I thought it was a good film.
I didn't hate it. I thought the slow pace, and you're right, it is quite slow, and it just, maybe I was in the right mood, I don't know, but it really dragged for me to get to the denouement. See, look at that. It's a new good word there.
It's not bad.
The first good word of 2017. but it just dragged a little bit to me. Performances, yeah, I agree. Kurt Russell was fab. And there's a number of these actors who, as they've got older and got more craggy, they've got really good. Nick Nolte is one of them who's done the same kind of thing as he's got older. He's terrific in this. And Richard Jenkins?
Yeah.
I don't know him. What's he
in everything.
I've not come across him, his name before
things
then.
Things that I remember him from specifically are The Cabin in the Woods. He's one of the technicians.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was also years ago, he was in The Witches of Eastwick.
Oh, really?
Do you remember that there's that kind of religious fundamentalist
woman?
I saw
it 30 years ago, so I can't remember it, to be honest.
This religious fundamentalist woman who rails against the witches and she ends up vomiting all these sherry stones and her husband ends up beating her to death.
Oh, that's Richard Jenkins, isn't it?
I
think that I like the premise. I think the story's very well done and as a Western, inverted commas, it's got a real different spin on it because it is, you know, is it a Western, is it a horror film, what is it? I like that idea, but I just thought it was a little bit too slow paced, and as Dan said, it took a long while for them to get to where they were going.
Well, he did, but he didn't say that as a criticism.
No, he didn't. I know he didn't, but I am saying it as a criticism because I think it could have been, you know, a good 20 minutes shorter and not been made a better film personally. I'm going to say, I'm not critical. I would, you know, I'd give it a solid sort of like 7 out of 10. I'm not knocking it, but I don't think it's a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. And if we're talking about, as we mentioned, Hateful Eight, I think Hateful Eight, that would be in my top 10 this year.
Really?
Definitely,
maybe a top 10 in my opinion for me. It's funny because Kurt Russell plays, when it's not so, he plays it with the same facial hair in both films, which I think is quite.
But I think, I mean, to say, he's great in that film and he's one of the highlights in Hateful Eight, isn't he? He's just brilliant because he's got that. You know, he's lost that pretty boy bit, and he's, you know, because he can't do that anymore because he's an old man, but he does it much better.
He's got to be Oscar bound.
Something. Oh, yeah.
He's got to connect with them.
I think Lily Simmons is good in this as well, to be honest. She's not in it very much, but she's solid.
Well, funny, if Jo had been here, I'm sure she's always on about strong women and.
Yeah.
Certainly in the first bit of the movie she's very strong. She takes over because the doctor's drunk, so
she takes over,
sorts it, and when she's making love to her husband. That's right.
Yeah.
She's in control.
Well, he's got a bad leg, but yeah, I'd let her be in control. Definitely. No.
Yeah, I don't know why he was rejected. You know, but it seemed like quite good for me.
Yeah, but it was. There was a little touch of it. I think it looked really good. I think, you know, cinematography was fabulous.
I don't know if he'd done his own cinema, but he is a cinematographer, that guy.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if he did it for this movie, but that's, I think, I might have made that fact up. I don't know. But I've got some facts that are not made up. It's made for less than $2 million.
Really?
Wow.
Okay. And that's probably Kurt Russell's fee.
Yeah.
So, and it was shot in less than 3 weeks.
Wow.
That's cheap, impressive. Really quick. Yeah, and it doesn't look like that at all. It looks fantastic.
It looks I think my problem. Not with it, because I say I haven't got a problem with it particularly. I just don't hold it in high esteem. Is I was brought up visiting my nan many, many years ago, who I loved dearly, but she loved westerns, and I just watched countless John Wayne and Audie Murphy films, and so I've got a real thing about watching westerns, because I think I don't want to see any more of these because they're all the same, and this wasn't the same. And I know, but it just is that kind of thing. You've got a thing in you, and I find it very difficult to go over that barrier. Where The Hateful Eight wasn't like that, because it was so different, because it's all encased in one room and stuff. And I really like that idea, and that bar was very Hateful Eighty, wasn't it? All the, you know, all the rooms were, you know, bare floorboards and stuff, and it was very evocative. I think it looked really good.
It goes without saying, I think, that I also really enjoyed this movie. This was a suggestion that I fully supported.
It's your own suggestion, though, right?
Absolutely.
Strange.
I just enjoyed this so much. It was actually, I've got my brother to thank for seeing this film, because I didn't fancy it at all, but he was keen to see it, so I bought it for him on Blu-ray for his birthday in November.
Oh, you're kind.
He came round to mine and I said, "There we go, I bought you that film." And he went, "Oh, great." He said, "Should we put it on?" Oh, God, okay. Let's watch this tedious bloody Western. And by the end of it, he quite enjoyed it. I loved it. So I then bought it again for a friend of mine, because it was his birthday, and gave that to him, and he loved it. And then finally I ponied up the cash to buy a third copy of it for myself. So
you
I
paid back Kurt Russell's £2 million fee on your
pretty
own.
Much, pretty much.
God, it's you just, did buy me a copy. You know,
you know, you get one of those things where there's just a movie that you enjoy so much, you just think, I want other people to see this, because it's a hidden gem and a lot of people might have
missed it. I will watch it again. It's on Netflix, isn't it? So I will watch it again. It's not one of those films I would say, I don't want to see that again. You know, it piqued my interest enough to give it another go, and maybe I might like it and enjoy it more on a second viewing, possibly.
I will say I enjoyed The Hateful Eight as well. However, I got the distinct feeling as soon as I'd finished watching The Hateful Eight, I thought, okay, well, that's that done. I don't think I'm ever going to watch this again.
Okay,
there's, you know, no need. Bone Tomahawk, every time I watch it, I get to the end of it, the credits go up, and I just sit there and think, can't wait to watch that again at some point.
Yeah, I'm a bit different with Tarantino. I like really watching Tarantino films, because I think you get different things on repeated viewings. You know, his dialogue is so... I mean, you said about he's gone off the boil, and in some respects he has a bit, but I think Hateful Eight was a real return to form for him. But anyway, we're not talking about Quentin Tarantino. Shall we play some music?
Good point. That's an excellent idea. So this is a bit of music from Bone Tomahawk. It's called Four Doomed Men Ride Out, and it's written by Jeff Herriot and S. Craig Zahler, who of course was the director, writer, and director
of
the film.
Probably a better name for the film than Bone Tomahawk. Four Doomed Men Ride Out.
Oh, I like that.
That's good idea.
Tarantino would have made it called Four Doomed Men Ride Out. Actually. So Tarantino's not totally.
Yeah, anyway, let's hit it.
Thank you. frontier town. Community of settlers and rogues and honest folk. Little did they know of the ancient race that dwelled beyond their borders. For doomed men ride on. Civilization. For doomed men ride out. They travel across green and hostile plains, weathering elements, savages and each other. For western twilight winds cut and whip them. Wheels unbroken, these men press on. Four doomed men ride out. Civilization. Four doomed men ride out.
Okay, so there we go. Four doomed men ride out from Bone Tomahawk. Nice little track. That should be pointed out that it's not entirely reminiscent of the movie, is it? That's the end credits music, isn't it? So the whole movie, don't base your opinion of it on that bit of music.
It's a bit high noony, isn't it?
It's not really. Great film.
Don't let that put you off.
Absolutely. Right, so up to the next item on our agenda, which is Anomalisa. And in a departure from the usual way of doing things, I'm actually going to do the synopsis on this one. How exciting. Yeah, absolutely. Contain yourselves, gents, contain yourselves. So Anomalisa, this is written by Charlie Kaufman, who you will recall is the author of Being John Malkovich, Adaptation, Synecdoche, New York, and Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. It was directed by Duke Johnson and Charlie Kaufman. The main character is a guy called Michael Stone. He's an author of a book about customer service, and he flies to Cincinnati to speak at a conference, leaving his wife and son at home. And he's staying at a hotel where they're holding the conference, and he goes there. A few bits and pieces happen. He meets up with an ex-girlfriend of his, who is obviously clearly still very
damaged.
Can I
interrupt you, Dan?
Yes.
Is that an ex-girlfriend?
Yes.
I thought he just chatted her up.
No, on the phone.
On the phone.
He phones up some ex-girlfriend, doesn't he?
Sorry.
He meets up, he arranges
how do
to
you
meet
like
up.
It, eh? How do you like it?
How do you like them apples? He arranges to meet up with an ex-girlfriend of his, basically, I think, with a desire to take her up to his room and do all kinds of terrible things, but she's not really interested. And then later on he ends up meeting somebody who's attending the conference called Lisa, and he is entranced by her and instantly falls in love. That's all I'm going to tell you about the plot of this. It's really, really interesting. Michael Stone, the voice, is performed by David Thewlis, who's been in just loads and loads of things. Lisa is performed by Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Who's in The Hateful Eight as well.
Who was in The Hateful Eight, yes, absolutely. And Every other voice in the movie is performed by the stupendously good Tom Noonan, who I love. The interesting thing about this, the character of Michael Stone, he's profoundly unhappy and he's looking for something. He's looking for something to bring some meaning to his life. It's this kind of desire for emotion and to care about something and love something, and that's what kind of drives him towards Lisa. Unfortunately, he's also really horrible. He's an unpleasant person. He's rude to people, and he does some things later on in the film that are quite unpleasant. I mentioned about Tom Noonan and the fact that he does every other voice. The name of the hotel is the Fregoli, and that's named after something called the Fregoli delusion, which is where somebody believes that different people are actually all a single person. They're all the same person.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
So, and I don't think the character is suffering from the Fregoli delusion as such. I think it's just kind of used as a way of describing
it's
how
a metaphor,
he,
then.
It's a metaphor, it's a yes. Metaphor. He's kind of detached from people. So, the Michael Stone main character and Lisa, they are both unique looking. Every other person in the film, every other marionette in the film, has got exactly the same face, just with different clothes and hairstyles. And Tom Noonan does all of their voices, men, women, children. He just does the whole lot. And it kind of lends a really interesting, kind of dreamlike quality to it, I think. I don't know what I can really say about this film without giving anything away, but I just really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was very touching, even though this character is quite unpleasant, not a nice man at all. You do end up feeling for him. You can see that he is just deeply unhappy, and he's looking for something, and doesn't really manage to find it, I don't think. I don't know what else to say about this. I'm going to throw it
out.
Well,
did you like it, though?
Yes, I really liked it. I really liked it a lot. This was in my list, I think, of
top
films of the year. I wouldn't say it's a stupendously amazing film. Oh, it's wonderful, you must see it. I think for me, it was just one of those films that just made a big impression. So I wouldn't say it's a masterpiece, but it makes an incredible impression. Wonderful. The stop motion animation is extraordinary. It's fantastic. And it wouldn't have worked, I don't think, as live action. It really wouldn't have worked. But yeah, go on, Mike. I'm going to throw it over to you.
To me?
Yes.
Okay. It's okay. I liked it. It's quite a short movie, and that helps. It's less than an hour and a half long. What you just said about it, don't think it'll work through live action, I think that's a problem. If that's what you just said. Did you just say that?
Yes.
Or have I made that
comment?
No,
I did.
Because I think that could be a problem, because if it was live action, just normal, it'd be a bit dull, I think. Being a bit dull. So just because it's got puppets who are terrific, I still think it's a bit dull. Didn't really warm to the characters. The main character supposedly he's meant to be not very nice, and that's a hard sell. If you make your main character not very nice, you've got to do lots with it then to make it work. Kaufman is a stupendously good writer, so he nearly pulls it off, but I don't think he really does pull it off. It left me a bit cold. And at the end, which I'm not going to give away the ending, but at the ending, I think it's a bit rushed. I think it's a bit obvious. It's a bit like, oh yeah, okay. I wouldn't even recommend it, I don't think. I wouldn't say it's a bad movie. I've seen far, far worse. I've seen far, far better. It's like, okay. But if you're into animation, it's absolutely, see it. If you're into that, see what you can do with the film medium. It's brilliant. I've never seen anything like it. Never seen full frontal nudity with puppets before. And the there are quite explicit sex scenes between two of the puppets, which was the first for me to look at. Not for you, Dan. I can see that. Oh, yeah. Well.
I think you'll find I have a large collection.
His favourite genre.
Yes. Yes, I have. I have some favourite hand puppets at home as well.
Sure, you have. And they're used very regularly, I'd imagine.
Yeah, some Pinocchio ones, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I'm surprised at that. Interestingly, one of the things that you said there about the fact that he's not a very nice character, so it's a hard sell. Thinking about it, I think you can be very forgiving of the character right up until a scene towards the end where he's sitting having breakfast.
And then I think suddenly, it's very rushed.
That's it, where he's, and then suddenly you think, oh no, he's really not very nice. You kind of previously you put it down to him being nervous and confused and unhappy, and it's like, no, actually he is a bit of a tosser.
I got that impression.
Are you allowed to say tosser?
Well, you've both said it twice now, so I imagine you probably are right.
Although I will say, can I just say, in Joe's absence, when Joe's normally here, we have shirt potatoes and fufu and things like that.
Yes.
Now she's not here, we've had denouement.
Yes, right.
I'm not saying that she's kind of lowering the tone. But yes.
Yeah. But I sort of agree with both of you in a way.
Sitting on the fence.
Well, no, I'm not sitting on the fence because I thought it was technically brilliant. And it was. Some of the animation.
Yeah, technically just, brilliant.
Some of the things they did. And you think, how the hell did they do that? To stop. There's bits like throwing a coat on the bed, and it's so clever. Just really, really clever. And the writing's quite strong as well, and I thought that was and the whole setup. But and I agree with Dan, it wouldn't work as a live action, and because of that I agree with Mike that if it was a live action it wouldn't work, because I thought it was a little bit slow at times. I really didn't like the main character Stone. He was horrible. And the bit we're talking about the breakfast thing, you know, and he said he phoned up a girlfriend early on. Is this what he does? And that's my impression of what this is. What he does, it's not. That's what he goes through, really, destroying people's lives all the time. And he's a horrible, horrible man. And Fulis, the way he acts, I think that's a brilliant performance.
It was.
He's so detached and so just bored. He sounds like he's just bored with everything that he comes into contact with. And David Fulis is very good at doing that kind of. He's got the sort of the Lancashire accent anyway that really works with that. And he hasn't changed. He hasn't got an American accent, which I really like. The fact that he's not changed his accent, he's got the British accent. Tom Noonan, and again, what's clever that Tom Noonan is also. Every single character has got the same delivery.
Because
I didn't know anything about. I remember hearing an interview with Charlie Kaufman and one of the other people who involved early on, and Mark Kermode, or Simon Mayo, and they were really sort of off and fun, and they were not really up for the interview, and they got a bit of a, you know, they didn't really sell the film. And that stuck in my memory. And then, you know, I don't know. I just thought it was a little bit dull. Sometimes I think
dull.
Even though it's only an hour and 25 minutes long or something like that, it did drag a little bit for me. But it's very clever, and I would recommend people watch it, because it is so different. I've not seen anything quite like it before. And typically of Charlie Kaufman, his films are bonkers. because they are. He's just got his whole approach to film scripts is completely different to anybody else, and I like that idea that he's different to everyone else. Even if I don't know if it quite works here, but it works enough to watch it, I think.
But he couldn't get funding for this film. It was Kickstarter.
It was Kickstarter, that's right. Yeah. It was.
And to be honest, I'm with the producers.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have funded it either.
No.
But it did get nominated for an Oscar, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
Best animation.
I think it's best animation. Mm.
Didn't
yeah.
win.
No. Did, but,
did,
yeah.
Did come anywhere. Mm. But
well, what can I say? I'm shocked and appalled.
Shocked? Why? it's, you just said it's no masterpiece.
No, absolutely. It's not a masterpiece.
So there
but
you go.
Absolutely worth seeing, I think. In my
also
opinion.
On Netflix.
Also on Netflix, exactly.
Other
so
streaming sites are available.
If you've got Netflix, then it's free, so you might as
Hurrah.
Well watch
well, it's
it.
It's not free. It costs you $8.99 a month. But.
Then if you've got Netflix...
Not when you've got dodgy.
Then it's free. It's included.
There's no such thing,
so,
obviously.
So go for it.
I just
okay.
snorted
so
it,
we're going to have little votes now then, aren't we? Mike?
I'm not going to give it no thumbs. Can I give it half a thumb?
Half a thumb.
Can I give you half a thumb?
Mark?
I would... I say, I've got reservations about it, but I'd say watch it because it's interesting, and I think it's one of those. It's a Marmite film, I think, in some respects. Many people will think this is the best thing they've ever seen, and other people will absolutely hate it as well. It's one of those things that will really divide opinion. So on that basis, I would say, yeah, give it a watch.
Good opinion.
It won lots of awards, polls, didn't it? Mm. It was in loads of people's top film poll. Yep. So, what do they know?
Yeah.
They're only critics, aren't they?
And for me, obviously, it's a hit. I would urge anybody to see it, but I actually do agree with Mark's comments there to a great extent, which is be careful. You may love it, you may absolutely hate it. So, music time.
Yeah,
we've got a track from Anomalisa, haven't we? The track name is None of Them Are Over You, written by the extraordinarily talented Carter Burwell. I love him. And and it's actually performed by Tom Noonan.
Your face, or hear a name, or am introduced to someone new. It doesn't matter, they're all the same, and none of them is you. When I go to work or take a walk and watch what other people do, I'll listen to their idle talk. None of them is you. Where are you, my dear? Why can't I hear you? How I wish that you were here. How I long to be near. At night, I'll pass the time. Those endless sleepless hours in bed, I'll try to reconstruct your voice, but only hear their voice instead. They talk, they yell in that other voice. They flirt and too. I'd love them if I had the choice, but none of them is you. Where are you, my dear? Why can't I hear you?
You ready for the cut off again, boys?
Oh.
There we go.
Oh, beautiful.
I'm sorry about that, but I don't know what.
It gets better every time.
No, no, I don't know what's, I don't know what's happened to this desk today, but it's causing me all kinds of grief.
Right. Okay. So, last but by no means least.
Oh, by very means least.
We're on to the third movie. Can I just say that this was Jo's choice? She chose it as one of her favourite movies of 2016.
Even though she hadn't seen it.
Although she hasn't seen it.
I think she'd heard it was good.
But
I think.
She had heard it.
Well,
was
she
good.
Likes the Linklater, doesn't she?
Yes. So she suggested it and we all watched it.
But why did we say yes?
because we hadn't seen it either. I'm going to pass over to Mark now, who's got the unenviable job of talking about this magnificent steaming turd.
Right, this is Dan's critique of the film in a nutshell there. Right, it's called Everybody Wants Some, and it's written and directed by Richard Linklater, who is a master of this kind of reminiscence at the cinema, where and this is set in 1980, and it's about a college freshman called Jake, who is a pitcher in baseball, and he's a very good pitcher, and he gets picked to play for a university or college baseball team called the Southeast Texas Cherokees, who don't exist, they're just made up anyway. And it's about him meeting his new teammates, living in the sort of a frat house with them prior to the semester starting, them going to parties, trying to picking up girls, having sex with girls, drinking lots, taking drugs, and all that kind of frat house
fun.
We've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times before in masterpieces like Porky's,
yeah,
and
Porky's 2 the next day,
Revenge of the Nerds, and all those dreadful films from the 80s. And just because it is Richard Linklater, you think, well, maybe he'll put a different spin on it. Nah, no, he doesn't. Yeah. Same old cliches. There are actors in it who are in their late 20s who are passing off as teenage boys and they do not succeed in any way. Scenes start and you think there's a point to this scene, and then it just stops and there isn't a point to this scene. They're having a drink and there's all these little things, and they have arguments and they fall around and are horrible to women with no real consequence. It's dreadful. For the first hour, it's an hour and 50 minutes. For the first hour and a half, it is absolutely dreadful. Last 20 minutes, it seems to take a bit of a backseat from all that frat house nonsense. And
yeah,
it's just all right. It's not good. To be fair, Richard Linklater nails the look completely. Because he's brilliant at doing that.
Yeah.
Every film he ever does. And the music. The whole feel about it. He nails it 100%. They all look like they're stepped out of the 80s. It's brilliantly done. There's one thing I mentioned to Dan, and because it bugged me. There's a scene in the film where Jake meets a girl called Beverly, who's the female lead, played by Zoe Deutsch, and Blake Jenner is Jake. And they go back to Beverly's room and they're sitting chatting. And in the background, you can see a turntable spinning, but there's no music. And that's really lazy, because you would not even a click. So there's no music. So I think what happened, they were obviously meant to be playing some music and didn't get clearance for it or whatever, but they missed that. And that sort of summed the movie up for me. It was just really, really lazy. And I absolutely hated it. Next.
Wow.
I bought this, cost me £6 this did off of Amazon. I want my money back.
I must say, I think that's your best synopsis of anybody's synopsis
ever.
Thank you very much.
No, I've not been sarcastic, I actually mean that totally. That sums it up.
what did you think of it, Mike? I mean, clearly, Mark must be talking out of his hat.
I'm wearing my hat.
You must have loved this, mustn't you, Mike? Just to irritate the rest of us, I'm sure. You must have loved
it. I did think of pretending that it's some masterpiece. But I think there's some Emperor's New Clothes thing going on here. Linklater, when he's on form, he's brilliant. Mm. Personally, like before Sunrise, after Sunout, the two of them, with three, I've only seen the first. I think they're lovely films, the first two. And when he's on form, he's very, very good. And I think critics will be fooled. It's Linklater. It's teenage comedy where they're just smoking pot, having sex, drinking booze, hijinks. It must have some emotional depth there because it's Linklater. It's got to be better than this. And it isn't. There's just no emotional depth there at all. It does get better as it goes on. But Mark is right in the synopsis that there's less sort of hijinks and more emotions at the end. But he doesn't subvert the genre in any way at all. No. And films that are awful, like Porky's, are actually better films.
Yeah, because that's what they are.
Because that's what they are. Yeah.
Dan, I think you liked it less than me and Mark.
I went on Facebook Messenger because I was about 9 minutes into the movie, and I sent a little message to you guys, to our little Facebook chat, basically saying, this is awful, this is interminable, and I'm only 9 minutes in. It was awful. It was kind of like, you know, these endurance athletes, and it's like, you've got to break through the wall, and it's just like, yes, it's lots and lots of pain, but it's so that at the end you can say, I did it. I felt like that with this film. I wanted to turn it off about every 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I just thought, I'm not interested in this remotely. It's just awful and dull and tedious. But I had to keep watching it because of this show.
Yeah.
And it's 2 hours long.
I know.
And nothing happens.
No.
And it's... if you've got a movie where nothing happens, so what? You could argue that Bone Tomahawk, big sections of that, nothing's really happening. Mm. But...
or Annalisa as well, really.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And Annalisa, sorry.
Yeah. There's... certainly with Bone Tomahawk, there's a charm about it, and it's the way that nothing happens in certain bits of it.
Well, things happen in this, but for no reason, and I don't care that they have.
Absolutely, it's like a little series of vignettes. And,
maybe good word.
Yes.
Denouement now, vignette.
Maybe,
are you listening, Joe?
Maybe this is what Linklater was. Is it Linklater, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe this is what he was trying to do, and it's kind of like flown over my head a little bit. Maybe he was trying to make a comment about the fact that all of these kids that are going through college, it's never about some big narrative journey. It's just them doing stupid stuff and getting drunk and smoking weed and having big parties and trying to cop off with girls. And maybe that was the point. Maybe he's saying there doesn't need to be a plot. All we're doing is watching them just being teenage kids.
But most of the films have no plots. That's his thing. Virtually plotless and virtually happening in a short space of time.
I wouldn't know, because I must admit I did check out his credits on IMDb, and I've only actually watched, I think... he did School of Rock was his.
That's a good film.
Did he make that?
Yeah, which I quite enjoyed.
I like that film.
He also made A Scanner Darkly, which I tried watching, but I got a little bit bored with.
That was animation, wasn't it?
It was a form of animation.
Spy Kids, great film.
He made Burn It. Spy Kids?
Yeah.
He didn't do it.
Oh, no,
he
was an actor in that. Sorry.
No, that was Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, sorry, he was an actor in that. Sorry, he's in... I'm looking at the... it's the way that Wiki set up.
He
sorry.
Did direct a film in 2011 called Bernie with Jack Black, and that's a really interesting watch. That is actually worth a look. But other than that, Before Midnight, After Sunset,
they're good films.
And he made Boyhood.
Yeah,
which I've not seen, because it was one of those where I heard so much about it that basically it got hyped to death, and I decided I just couldn't be bothered.
Fast Food Nation he did as well, didn't he?
Right. Okay.
Which I've not seen. I've got Indoors, I've not seen yet. But.
So it's weird. He's got quite a body of work.
He's got a good reputation, but...
Me and Orson Welles, he did that. That's a good film.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Yeah, that's a good film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he does some good stuff.
Whatever it's called.
Everybody Wants Some.
Everybody Wants Some.
It's sort of the unofficial sequel or follow-up.
To Slacker. Or Dazed and Confused.
And that's not very good either. Mm. So I went into it thinking, well, it's not as good as Dazed and Confused, which I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't as good.
Amusingly, can I just say, on IMDb, you know where it's got the little summary of who the person is? Richard Linklater, self-taught writer-director. Hmm. Well, it certainly shows, doesn't it? maybe he should have gone to film directing school and learned what he was doing.
Yeah,
because this was atrocious. Seriously, you know, grudgingly, you said, Mike, about Anomalisa, you said, well, didn't really like it, but people should probably give it a go. I'm going to say about this one, I hated it. Don't waste your time.
No.
Don't waste your time or money.
And anybody want a copy? Because we've got loads.
It's probably the worst film I've seen this year.
Really? Yeah. Well, no.
Not mine. But you haven't seen. You haven't seen Sausage Party.
I quite liked Sausage Party.
Oh, did you?
I thought it was alright.
Oh, it's dreadful.
But Everybody Wants Some is on my list of the worst
Ben
films
Hur.
Of the year.
Did you see Ben Hur?
No.
Ben Hur. Nice Guys is up there with me as well.
Shocking.
Shocking. Yeah. I bought that the other day in the HMV sale. So that's how much I liked it.
Awful.
That's it. So we're saying Everybody Wants Some.
I don't. No.
Mike,
don't know.
Mark,
no.
Don't get
no.
here.
So,
and I've already predicted that Joe will hate this film, and I know. We shall see. Maybe we shall ask her the next thing. What she thought.
We must thank Joe for suggesting.
Oh, it has
this
got
movie.
One thing that Joe will set her. It's got a token black person.
Yes, it has.
It's so tokenism. Yeah. Yes. It's awful. It's embarrassing to watch.
Yeah, it is. But
such
that's,
a tokenism.
But that mirrors the what it used to be like in Paul, because I had one and they got, you know, I know.
It's awful.
So maybe that's it. Maybe this is what he's doing. He's done a little magic trick.
He's holding a mirror up.
He'd probably be laughing at us right now, going, oh, you fools. You completely missed the point. Thank you for the money.
Oh, there you go.
So there we go. In Joe's absence, can we have a democratic vote and say that Joe doesn't get to choose any films anymore ever?
Yes.
All those in favour, say aye. Excellent. That's only joking. Right, so that's it. We're nearly at an end, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we going to very, very quickly then talk about our top five films of the year?
Yes.
Okay, go on, Mark.
My favourite film of the year is Hell and High Water. Superb. Chris Pine. It's Jeff Bridges, who's actor at the end of his career again, being brilliant. Fabulous film.
Not seen it.
Really, really loved it. Arrival I thought was amazing. I really liked Nocturnal Animals, so it's two standout performances from Amy Adams. What else did I really like? Hateful Eight, I would say, would be up there. And possibly, she's going to be. I'm going to get hammered for this, but I thought Bourne was really good as an action film. I thought it was good. Yeah, I like them. I'm an amateur. It's action. That's what it says on the tin. It's an action film. Goes for it. Things blow up and people get beaten up and I liked it.
Interestingly, Bourne was nearly on my worst list.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay.
Because I love the Bourne films and this was Bourne by the numbers.
Okay.
It was just like,
I just thought it was all right. It was a good film. Yeah, but I mean, there's others as well, but I can't really think of it at the moment. There's others. I can't think of them off the top of my head because I'm not going to get written down.
Oh. There we go. I'm going back through our Facebook chatty thing to try and identify which ones were my top five. Mike, what were your best films of 2016?
Reverse order.
In any order.
Mine was no order at all.
Well, I would have said Bone Tomahawk. I put that fifth, and I think it might be higher. A film you just mentioned, he's in my top five, Nice Guys. We reviewed that on a show 6 months or so ago, sort of cinema. Thought it was good, and it's now better. It's gone up. I didn't really think it would go up, in my estimation. I liked it, thought, don't really want to see that again. I did see it again. I thought it was terrific. So that film has really stuck with me.
Yeah, you're wrong, obviously, but yeah.
Nearly number one was Batman Superman.
Cool.
The extended cut.
Ah, okay. Not seen that.
I couldn't bring myself.
What is wrong with this man?
I don't know.
That could have been number one, but I thought that might be too arch, and you know, you wouldn't believe it.
I don't believe it anyway. How can that possibly be one of the top five movies of 2016? You silly man.
Terrific. Best superhero film, I think. But no. Man of Steel, I would say. Best one ever.
God.
Right, thankfully we're drawing to a close now on the show because Mike has descended into
but
utter,
that wasn't
utter
my
farce.
Number one. You'll have to check Facebook for number one.
Oh, very good.
It will be up very soon. Next couple of days.
We'll be on Facebook.
Well, it would already be up by the time you hear this.
Yes.
We're not recording this at all.
No.
You talked that day being up.
I think we've run out of time, almost, actually. Well, yeah, I'm going to very, very quickly do my top five. Anomalisa. There it is. Arrival, I agree with Mark. Yeah. I think a stupendous film. That's possibly the number one spot for me, actually, okay. Arrival. Mm-hmm. Bone Tomahawk, that was in my top five. The Witch. Yeah. I absolutely loved. And a latecomer. The Greasy Strangler.
I was meant to bring to lend to you and I forgot.
I'm really sorry.
So, next time.
But Greasy Strangler, absolutely love it. Fantastic. Brilliant music. We should play some music from it sometime. Speaking of music, I don't think we've got time for any, have we?
No, we just play out with from the about the only good thing about everything wants.
Everybody wants some.
Which is some of the music.
The music is good. Yeah. This track's not very good.
Oh, she's a great record.
We will see you all in a month, and Joe will be back with us. Hurrah!
Yes, and we'll be talking about some films. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.